The Lord be with you.
And
also a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels and his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel today, I want to talk to you on this message, the creativity of the cross. What I mean by that is that the Lord announces to us a teaching. The basic point he's making to us today is that in the cross, there is life. Through the crosses of our life, he creates new life. He summons forth gifts and things that we never knew were within us. And I'm going to keep asking you this question all throughout the sermon today. Where would you be without the crosses in your life? Where would you be? We'll reflect on that. I want to look at the gospel in three stages. First of all, I want you to notice the pattern that's announced. I want you to notice the prevention that's attempted and the prescription that's awarding. Now, first of all, the pattern that's announced. Listen to what the Lord says. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. Now, I didn't lose my place, but I stopped there because a lot of people think that's where it stops. But the Lord goes on to add, "And on the third day, be raised." Did you hear that? You see, what he's announcing is what we've come to call the Paschal Mystery. The Paschal Mystery, or the Easter Mystery, is this, that Jesus Christ has died, but he is risen. And he will come again in glory, for he is already glorified at the Father's right hand. But did you hear that now? Let me read this pattern again. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer greatly from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day, be raised. Now what he's announcing is a pattern that we need to accept also in our own lives. And that is this, that there are to be crosses in our life. There are to be Good Fridays that we will have to endure in this life. But church, things don't end on Good Friday. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen? And one of the things that we have to recognize as a pattern in our life is that very often the crosses that we're asked to carry bring forth new life, not just in some heaven far away, but in this here and now we even experience new life that comes from the cross. Now, first of all, let's stop and think about the cross for a minute. What is meant by the cross? Or how can we understand the cross? We all know the cross of suffering. Perhaps the suffering of a physical illness, or some mental anguish, or perhaps the cross of the death of a loved one. We know these crosses, and there's a cross of suffering that comes into our life. But you know, even in these things, God's gifts sometimes come in strange packages.
Yes, yes.
Because you see, the death of a loved one can sometimes help us to reflect on our own need to really love our family, to reach out, to be in touch, to be reconciled. There can be great things that come sometimes from the very painful death of someone we love. Maybe then we finally appreciate their dignity or see their life for the beautiful thing, the beautiful gift that it was. But you see the vision that from the cross there comes new life. But let me talk to you about some other kinds of crosses that come into our life. You know, crosses that maybe we don't call them crosses, but they are. For example, the cross of self-control. You know, not just going to the refrigerator every time I think about it. Hello? Not just blurting out whatever comes into my mind, or simply acting on every thought that ever occurred to me. Saying to myself, no, I can't do that. Learning to control myself, to control my desires. Now, church, there's a cross in that, amen?
Amen.
It's a cross. But let me ask you a question. Where would you be without that cross in your life? I'd be a lot heavier than I am now. That's first of all. I'd have a lot more weight I'd be carrying. But you know, there'd be so many things that we would have done and acted upon if we didn't learn to control things like our anger, or our sexual passion, or our passion for greed and more money. And there'd be so many things that we would have done that we might have been in jail a long time ago about, all right? Where would you be in your life right now if you did not take up the cross of self-control? And because you have taken up the cross of self-control, you're already enjoying the fruit, the new life, the glory, if you will, of the good things that have come from learning self-control. Are you praying with me? If we didn't know how to control ourselves and didn't know how to take up that cross, we would be right now in very serious bondage and very serious trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Another cross, just the cross of experiencing the limits and the consequences of our actions. First of all, the limits. You know, we're all limited.
Amen.
You know, when I was in my 20s, I sort of knew that in my brain, but I didn't really know it. I didn't really know that I knew it, you know. I could do just about anything, and I was strong, and had all the energy, and, you know, you might laugh at me, some of you who are older, but you know, I'm 44 now, and I want you to know, getting old stinks. Now, you say, I know you're laughing. You say, this young man doesn't really know what he's talking about. He's not in touch with that yet. But let me just tell you, I'm beginning to get in touch with it. You know, my knees are bad. The foot doctor says I'm going to have to have some surgery in the next, you know, not too long. But then the other day I went out to buy a Bowflex because I'm trying to work on this gut and, you know, kind of burn it off a little. And I went and I got this Bowflex. And wouldn't you know, 2 months later, I've got myself a little hernia. I'm going to have surgery for that. And, that's embarrassing. In my 20s, you know, a hernia, what are you talking about, you know? Look at this. We have limits, don't we?
Yes.
But where would you and I be if we didn't really learn our limits? Amen?
Amen?
You know, we could be in pretty serious trouble. We know that we need sleep. There are some things that we just can't do. There are just some gifts that we don't have. We just can't say yes to everything.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we want to say yes, but we can't say yes. We just have to say no. And there's a cross in that. But again, to learn this is a source of humility for us. Amen? It's a reminder to us that God runs the universe, not me.
Amen.
And I can't do everything. I'll do what I can, what I think I'm called to do, but I also have my limits. And that's a very precious lesson to learn. Or how about just the limits, the cross of just effort. Let me ask you this question. What have you of any value in your life that didn't cost something? The things that are most valuable to us are costly, aren't they? You know, just think of some of the most basic things. Like, some of you, for example, have college degrees, careers, and so on. And just think about that for a minute. I got a couple of master's degrees hanging on my wall. I'm kind of proud of that. But I want you to know something. It was hard work. Hard work to get. It went all the way back to grammar school, learning my ABCs. taking up the cross of studying all throughout schooling years, studying, doing papers, an enormous amount of money, an enormous amount of time went into those things. They hang on my wall, but I want you to know there was a lot of sweat and tears that came. Now, I'm just talking about myself, but I know many of you have the same experience. You walked that aisle and you got that diploma, but you know the work and the time that went into that. Amen? But you see again, the cross, right? But then what? The fruit of it. New life. The glory of it. Da, 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 da. Right? See? The glory of walking that aisle and saying, you know what? I did it. I did it. And now you can take it and move forward with it. Praise the Lord. Or again, with careers and so on, all the years and the time spent, you know, going to work every day, getting up, just the cross of getting up every day and going to work and putting in the time, and finally you got to a place in your life where you have some economic stability. Praise the Lord. But you know there was a cross in that. Amen?
Amen.
It's not easy. And not only that can you benefit, but children and grandchildren and other people, and yes, even the parish can benefit from your economic stability, all right? Now, you see again, the cross of just effort. And I ask you again, where would you be today if you hadn't taken up the cross of just hard work? Hard work. So you see the pattern in life, right? The pattern is the cross, but from the cross, new life, new possibilities, new skills, new talents, new resources in your life, new gifts that you never had before that have now been developed. New life, indeed, glory. Glory, as we come more and more fully alive. And just another couple quick mention of crosses. I won't go into them in such detail, but just the cross of inconvenience, learning that we have to wait. But again, a lot of times, some things are worth waiting for, right? And if we're impatient, a lot of gifts pass us by. If we're not willing to spend the time and wait and work, a lot of gifts just pass us by. But again, the cross of patience, the cross of learning to wait. And how about the cross of obedience? You know, God says there are some things that are not for you. You are not to do some things. But again, where would we be without taking up that cross? You know, the Lord reminds us that whoever sins is a slave to sin. And church, there are some people who have lived lives of disobedience toward God who are now in serious bondage, in real trouble in their lives. Some are in prison. Some are just in the prison of their own slavery to their own passions. They can't control important things in their life anymore. Their life is out of control. And it all began by a disobedience to God. But I ask you, if that's not a truth in your life, praise the Lord. But where would you be if you hadn't taken up the cross of obedience?
Amen.
It's not easy to say no to some of my passions and desires. But the Lord said, no, I can't do that. That's not for me. What a very precious gift. But you see, the cross brings the glory and the new life of being a free child of God, not in bondage to the passions. And, well, I'll leave it at that. There's some others, but I'll leave it. You see the vision, the pattern in our life? First the cross, then the resurrection, the new life, then glory. And let me just remind you of the pattern in Jesus' own life. It's spelled out in the letter to the Philippians. It's in the second chapter, in the 9th verse and following. You're familiar with this. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, death on a cross. Therefore, did you hear that word? Therefore, God the Father exalted him, glorified him, and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, whether in the heavens, on the earth, or even under the earth, and every tongue declare to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it all came from what? The cross that he humbly accepted. Therefore, he is alive. He is glorified at the Father's right hand. And all creation worships and adores him. Now, you see the vision? the cross, new life, and glory. That is the pattern that Jesus announces. All right? We are called to live the Paschal mystery in our lives. To die to certain things in our life. That we may come more fully alive to the things that really matter. To take up the cross of self-control. The cross of obedience. The cross of effort and making sacrifices for things that are really important in our life. We're called to take up these crosses. And yes, to embrace and accept the cross of suffering. But the Lord makes a promise. There will come from this new life. New life. New glory. New gifts. New possibilities. Where would you be without the crosses in your life? Where would you be today? I know where I'd be. I'd still be in bed. But I say that, I mean, all the years of just getting up and putting in the time and working hard and what it's brought me today. I am so blessed to be at St. Thomas More Parish as your pastor. But I want you to know something. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the crosses in my life. The things that helped to get me to this day. I enjoy what I'm enjoying now because first there was the Friday of the cross. Now there's a Sunday of rejoicing with you.
Amen.
And so it is. Where would you be without the crosses? We need Friday so that we can enjoy Sunday. Amen? Now, next thing I want you to notice in this gospel, not just the pattern that's announced, but the prevention that's attempted. It says here, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such a thing shall ever happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God thinks, but as human beings do." Now, church, think about this for a minute. When Peter says to Jesus, "No such a thing shall ever happen to you," what did he probably have in mind? The cross, suffering, being killed, right? But remember, that's not all Jesus announced, is it? He didn't just announce the cross and suffering. He also announced, "Rise on the third day, new life, glory." And when Peter says, "No such a thing shall ever happen to you," do you understand? He's not just excluding the cross. He's excluding the glory. He's excluding the resurrection. He's excluding new life. Do you see that? I see some looks like maybe you don't see what I'm getting at. You can't exclude one thing without excluding the other. Do you see that? If there's no cross, there's no crown. If there's no cross and death, there's no resurrection to new life. If there's no humiliation, there's no glorification. And what Peter is saying to Jesus is horrible. He's saying, "This shall not happen to you." Not just the cross, but the resurrection. Not just the humiliation, but the glorification. Now, there's a very important lesson in this for us. There is a time in our life where sometimes we can get in someone's way. Well, we mean well, but we try to remove crosses from them that they need. We try to avoid the struggles when without the struggle, they'll never learn and they'll never make it to greater gifts.
Amen.
Do you understand this vision?
Yes.
Now, good. We all know that where possible, we like to alleviate suffering.
Yes.
We don't want people to suffer. But do you understand? Sometimes we get in the way of God, who's doing an important work in their life. Let me give you some examples. I think it's first of all easiest to see it with children. You who are parents.
Yes.
You might want to alleviate every cross your child will ever have to suffer, but do you see the destruction that would come if you did that? What, for example, if a parent were to say to the child, "Oh, I know it's hard to get out of bed in the morning and go to school, so guess what? I won't make you do that." You can sleep in as late as you want, and if you feel like going to school, fine. If you don't feel like going to school, fine. I just don't want you to have to suffer. I want you to be happy all the time. Do you see the destruction that would come into that child's life?
Yes.
If you didn't say, nope, take up the cross, get out of bed, put that cross on your shoulder, the book bag, whatever, huh? Put that cross on your shoulder and get your get yourself to school. Whether you like it or not. See? Because you see, it's too important. You avoid Friday of getting out of bed early in the morning and getting to school and studying. You avoid Friday, you'll never experience Sunday. You just won't get there. Because you got to go through Friday to get to Sunday.
Amen.
Or again, you know, I'm sometimes amazed, in our school here at St. Thomas More, we try to help the children appreciate that there are consequences to bad behavior. And there's a cross in that. We say to them, now if you do something, like something bad, you will have to put a cross on your shoulder called the cross of consequence. Now, I'm often surprised that when consequences come due, I'm not saying this happens a lot, but I'm saying it happens enough that it bothers me, that a parent will show up at the principal's office and, how dare you make my child do that? Well, we explain they engaged in bad behavior. I don't care. It's not fair. And what they're trying to do is get that cross off their child's shoulder when that's where it belongs. And if they don't learn in school that there are consequences to bad behavior, they will learn, but later and in a much harder way. But if there isn't the Friday of consequences, there isn't the Sunday of self-control. We've got to understand that some crosses in life are just necessary. Now, as we become adults and deal with each other, it's a little more subtle, but it's important. Sometimes maybe there's a co-worker who's having some issues in their life, and so you sort of cover for the co-worker. And that's okay up to a point, but there may come a time when that co-worker is not dealing with issues in their life. And it's important for them to experience the wrath of the boss. Can't cover up for them anymore. They need to come to terms with the fact that there are some things in their life that are out of control that need to come into control. Sometimes we've all struggled in our families and so on, perhaps, with people with addictions. And once again, we can run around and protect and cover up and tell lies for them. But in the end, you know what? The best thing that a person who's addicted can experience is to take up the cross of consequences.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it takes to get them to hit bottom so that they can say, you know, I need to get help. And help is available. And I'm going to go and I'm going to fight the good fight of sobriety. But again, sometimes in wanting to get the cross off their shoulder, they never experience the glory of sobriety. So we cover up, we tell sweet little lies, and we pretend things aren't going on when they are going on. And it could be addiction to drugs or alcohol, or it could be an addiction to anger. It could be an addiction to money or power or greed. We like to tell sweet little stories and pretend it's not going on and avoid the cross, but that's precisely what's needed for there to be the Sunday of freedom and glory, to be free of these things. Hallelujah! So again, there are all kinds of ways that we have to be careful. Peter is trying to spare the Lord the cross, but in so doing, he is also taking away from the Lord the resurrection and the glory. That's an important lesson for us. And again, I'm going to ask you this question. Where would you be without the crosses in your life? Where would you be if it wasn't for some things in your life that had come up that you had to face? But when you came through it, you were better than ever before. And thank God those things happened. And that leads us to the third point. The third point is the prescription that is awarding, or shall we say rewarding. The Lord says this, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life, namely have a life without the cross, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, namely takes up the cross, will find their life." Did you hear that? The paradox is this, that in the death of the cross comes true life. Now we know that when we look up there, amen? We know it. But do we know it in our lives? Where would you be? You do know it. I've already asked you this question at least a dozen times today. Where would you be right now without the crosses that you've experienced? Haven't you experienced life from them? The cross of self-control, did that not make many more things available to you? The cross of obedience, has that not preserved you from being in slavery to all kinds of sins and passions? A personal story. I forget how many years ago, but I told you this before, but it's worth repeating. I had a nervous breakdown about, oh gosh, it must have been more than 8 years ago now, maybe 9 years ago, and miserable time. It was very embarrassing, too. It was very public. The nervous breakdown centered around me being assigned to another parish as pastor, and I wasn't ready at that time to be a pastor. It was all published in the paper that I was going there, and they were calling me from another parish saying, come on, we want to meet you. And all of a sudden, I just fell apart. I wasn't ready. I was having panic attacks. I didn't sleep for over a week, hardly a wink. I just really began to fall apart. And after about all I could take, I just fell apart. Had a nervous breakdown, and I had to take a week off, or take a week in the hospital and a month off to recuperate. And it was very embarrassing and very public. And I never want that to happen to me again. First of all, I want to tell you that right now. It was a cross that I don't want to have again. But you know what, church? I'm going to tell you this too. Some of God's best gifts come in very strange packages. Because in this sense, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because of that, I'm a better priest today. I'm more humble. I'm not trying to stay in control of everything in my life. I'm able to admit that there are some things I can't do. I'm much more aware of God's love for me. That His love isn't based on what I can do, but rather just who I am. I have much more serenity, much more peace. I now, after getting over all that lack of confidence, I have a lot more confidence because it's rooted in the right thing, namely the right person, namely Jesus. Those things happen to me. I only tell my story because I'll bet you have similar stories. That some of the most painful chapters in your life were also perhaps the most fruitful chapters in your life. I'm not saying it's always obviously true to us, but I'm just going to say to you that there is new life that comes from taking up the cross. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's telling you, I want you to be my disciple by taking up your cross and follow me. Take up the cross of self-control, the cross of obedience, the cross of suffering, the cross of difficulties, the cross of just facing the issues in your life and not trying to hide them. I want you to take up the cross of honesty. I want you to take up these crosses. And I promise you this, new life, risen life, glory will come from this. Not just in heaven, it will come there, but even now in this life, you will experience the power of the cross to put sin to death and to bring new life alive. You will experience it. Now this is not a wisdom of the world. You know, the wisdom of the world, like, what is some of the latest diet products? You don't have to exercise, you can eat everything you want, just take this pill and watch the pounds melt away. You know? Progress without any pain. That's a lie. Anything that's really valuable and really moves us forward comes at a cost. But what a blessing to know that Friday is not the end. That Friday is the means to the end, which is Sunday. We got to go through Friday. It's the only way to get to Sunday. That's the bad news. We got to go through Friday. But the good news, Sunday is coming. The Sundays of our life. And one more time I'll ask you, where would you be if you didn't have the crosses that you've had? Where would you be right now? Would you have the gifts that you have now? Would you have the confidence that you have now? Would you have the control in your life that you have now, the self-control? Would you have the career that you have now, the education that you have? Where would you be without having taken up the cross? And what will fail to happen in our life if we don't continue to take up those crosses? That's what the Lord teaches us today. I need to finish now and remind you of an old gospel hymn. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. We may not always understand the crosses that come up in our life. Some of God's gifts do come in strange packages. We may not always understand. But I want to promise you that we'll understand it better by and by. On the back of the bulletin, there's something to reflect on. I won't do it with you today. It's for you to take home and reflect on. But the wisdom of the cross. And it says there that God uses problems. Just substitute the word cross, huh? God uses crosses or problems in our life for five reasons. And they're all rooted in Scripture. He uses the cross, the problems of our life, to direct us, to inspect us, correct us, perfect us, and protect us. It's all written there in the bulletin. I just want you to take some time this week and pray over that and think about what the Lord has taught us today. And just remember, we may not understand it all now, but we'll understand it better by and by. This is an addendum to the homily. I referred the congregation to a bulletin article on the back of our bulletin at St. Thomas More Parish here. And the title is, What is God Telling You with the Problems and Crosses He Permits in Your Life? There are five ways God wants to use the problems, to make use of the problems in your life. First, God uses the problems to direct you. Sometimes God must light a fire under you to get you moving. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to change. Is God trying to get your attention? Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being. Not only does God use problems to direct us, He uses problems to inspect us. People are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, just drop them into some hot water. Has God ever tested your faith with a problem? What do problems reveal about you? Troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience. For we read in James chapter 1 and verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Not only does God use problems to direct us and inspect us, He uses problems to correct us. Sometimes, some lessons we learn only through pain and failure. It is likely that as a child, your parents told you not to touch a hot stove, but you probably learned it really by being burned. Sometimes we only learn the value of something, health, money, a relationship, by losing it. Psalm 119 says this in the 71st verse, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is now more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Not only does God use problems to direct, inspect, and correct us, He uses problems to protect us. A problem can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being harmed by something more serious. Last year, a friend was fired for refusing to do something that was unethical that his boss had asked him to do. His unemployment was a problem, but it saved him from being convicted and sent to prison a year later when the management's actions were eventually discovered. Scripture says in Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Not only does God use problems to direct, inspect, correct, and protect, but He uses problems to perfect us. problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. God is far more interested in your character than in your comfort. Your relationship to God and your character are the only two things that you're going to take with you to eternity. And likewise, this tells us from Romans, verse 5 and chapter 5 and verse 3. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And that is the reading from the bulletin.